Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here, live from the Bitcoin.com studio. I have returned from the UK with a message. Listen carefully. Every American should hear this. Text this episode to your friends. Become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. It has been quite a week, 20 hours of travel to London, Oxford, Cambridge, and back. I know you're all very disappointed I wasn't arrested, but I tried. I tried my best. I went on one of their biggest news programs, GB News. Yeah, right, GB News. And I said that Mohammedism is not compatible with Western values. And it went very viral, and it was so funny. The production team afterwards at GB News was like, "Wow, you said that." I'm like, "Wow, you guys are so British. You should spend some time in America." Our Overton window has moved a lot. And it got to me thinking. And there's so much news we're going to cover today. We're going to do a big, beautiful bill. We're going to do this terrible assassination, this Luigi replica attack in D.C. We've got all that. But the U.K. is very important to talk about, not just because what's happening in the U.K., but also the ramifications here is the U.K. culturally felt like America before Donald Trump went down the golden escalator. They're in the abyss, but culturally, there is this kind of silent, are we allowed to say this? Are we allowed to challenge this? Are we allowed to talk about this? Are we allowed to question this? And Donald Trump will be in the history books for so many reasons. For isolating the Chinese Communist Party, for shining light on the southern border. But one thing I don't think he gets enough credit for, one thing that I think that gets forgotten in the story of Donald Trump, which, by the way, we are now coming up on a decade of Donald Trump. Next month will be 10 years since he went down the golden escalator. A decade. Complete domination of the Western mind for 10 years. And it's fitting that I went to Oxford and Cambridge and spent time in London before that 10-year mark because it feels so similar. Because once Donald Trump went down the golden escalator, he gave people permission to speak. He gave people permission to talk. President Trump said things like anchor babies. Remember President Donald Trump openly ran on a Muslim ban into the United States of America in December of 2015? He said rapists were coming over the border. You couldn't say that. They flipped out. He said that we're being invaded. He said that we're being replaced. And people were losing their mind. But the benefit of what Donald Trump did is he courageously moved that Overton window with force and courage. And people say he's nothing but just narcissistic, overly self-indulgent, but only someone who believes in himself as much as Donald Trump could have moved that Overton window because the criticisms didn't get to him. He says, no, I'm going to double down on the fact that they're bringing rapists in this country, and I'm tripling down. And he took the slings and the arrows for the rest of us, and he basically created cover fire for millions of people like myself and you to then be able to talk. Because if Donald Trump is saying it, and then the media is covering it, then other people get the courage to say the same thing. Then other people get the permission culturally to be able to ask the right questions. And then if he gets elected saying it, whoa. And then he goes into exile, and then he gets elected with a popular vote win and an electoral vote landslide. And we're in a place in this country where we can now say the things that otherwise people were terrified to say. We could dive deep into the correct issues. It was once verboten in America to even say that DEI and affirmative action might be choking productivity. It was verboten during Floydapalooza to say that we should not have disparate impact as the core legal theory. And Donald Trump changed all of that. And the UK feels as a country that deep down they want that. They want someone to give them permission, and no one is. And only somebody as popular, as courageous, only somebody as morally clear as President Donald Trump would be able to do that. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. He gets a lot of credit for his policy accomplishments. He gets a lot of credit for remaking the Republican Party. But in so many ways, he made America speak again. For 10 years, we have had more robust discussions about the downfall of America and its core reasons and its causes, and we take it for granted. I'm telling you, visiting that totalitarian third world hellhole that unfortunately the UK has become, and it's tragic. I don't say that with glib. I don't say that with delight. It is sad. Britain is why we exist. It's like going back to the life force. And it's chilling and it's depressing. There was one cafe that I drove by in downtown London, and every single table was taken by a Mohammedan and a fully burqa-wearing woman. Not a single native Brit. The entire cafe was taken. I walk shop by shop, and producer Blake, who did a great job preparing us for Oxford and Cambridge, and he deserves a ton of credit for that, he has his antenna up with this stuff. And he was like, I can't believe how much Arabic there is on the stores here. I kid you not. It is store after store. And then we're asked, you know, the Brits say, well, what's the big deal? Why does this matter? I'm not exaggerating this in the slightest. In fact, looking back, I should have probably taken a video with it, but it's not going to get any better. So next time I'll do that. In the hotel I was staying in, I always like watching local TV. So I'm start flipping through the local TV to see that, you know, what are they consuming? I kid you not, 40% of the TV channels in my hotel were Arabic. They had the Yemeni channel, they had the Kuwaiti channel, they had the Oman channel, they had the Iraq TV, they had the Lebanon TV, they had a bunch of Saudi channels, they had the Qatari channel. Not an exaggeration. The entire TV canon, and I stayed in three different hotels because we were bouncing all over the place. It was the same at the Hilton Garden Inn, at the London Heathrow Airport, as it was in Cambridge, as it was in London. All of the TV channels are configured to a Mohammedan population. Let's play cut 318. This clip has been seen tens of millions of times. Play cut 318.
Have you heard of a lady called Lucy Connolly since you've been here?
Of course. I talked about her yesterday, and no one knew what I was talking about in Cambridge.
Who are you talking about? The students didn't know.
I mentioned her because I did the research. My team did an amazing job. And I think she just had her petition denied
In the last hour or so today, it's Tuesday today, she's had her appeal denied. So she's going to be carrying out her 2.5-year sentence for solitary tweet.
So outrageous.
Which she deleted four hours later. What's your take on the whole situation?
Well, I'm going to try to get the U.S. State Department involved. I don't know if you know what their bandwidth is here, but I'm sorry, like, again, I'm speaking as a citizen, not as a U.S. government. I just want to be very clear. Like, is this a way that a liberal democracy and an ally of the United States acts? Just to be clear, what she said would not be any prison time in America. I don't like what she said, but she showed contrition. Well, there's two parts. The first part where she said, like, I don't want immigrants in my country. Perfectly acceptable. That's fine. Like, you'd say that. You're allowed to have that.
So that is a separate issue that I will talk about, where in the UK, 30 people a day are arrested for offensive social media posts in the UK. 30 people a day. This woman is going to serve 2.5 years in prison for an offensive social media post that she deleted and apologized for. Yep. They invented free speech, sent it back to our country. There's so much wrong with that country, and it is not worthy of making fun of. I mean, you can have some laughs and some comedy. But it is depressing. It is dark. And I came back literally kissing the ground when I came back from London yesterday. Because there's a lot of problems with America. But let me give you two things that I think we should be thankful for that we don't notice. Of course, freedom of speech, number one. And then number two, the spirit of America. When we have a problem, we believe we can solve it. There is this entrepreneurialism. There is this grit. There is this pioneer spirit. And in Britain, they are defeated at the soul. They're like, cheers, mate. Country's done. Let's go drink. What we have is unique, and it's a blessing from the Lord. So you've heard me talk about Patriot Mobile for a while now. You probably already know that for years, they've stood in the gap for every American that believes that freedom is worth fighting for. They are the real deal. So if you switch to Patriot Mobile, look, it's very simple. It's a binary choice. Either you are giving your money via your mobile bill to a woke company or a patriotic one. You're probably giving it to a woke one. But you might say, oh, Charlie, they have worse coverage. It's actually better. Patriot Mobile is one of the few cell phone providers that operates on all three major networks. If you're listening to this podcast right now on a phone, why don't you have Patriot Mobile? The fact is, cell phone service in the country today, you can get exceptional or even better service with Patriot Mobile. That's why they offer a coverage guarantee that others can't. Or maybe you haven't joined because you think switching is painful. I'm here to tell you it's not. In fact, it's very easy. No need to spend hours in a retail store waiting your turn. Simply call Patriot Mobile's 100% U.S.-based service team from the comfort of your own home or office, and they'll have it activated in minutes. Still locked into a contract, not a problem. Patriot Mobile's contract buyout program covers up to $500 per device. Keep your same number, keep your phone, or treat yourself to an upgrade. Okay, back to my point. What are you waiting for? It's time to join Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile funds Turning Point USA. They donate to us, support faith, family, and freedom with every call and text you make. Don't wait. Do it today. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Charlie and get a free month of service. Okay, so here's what I said on GB News. And I think I have a unique take on the Islamic topic. Because I totally acknowledge, because it's true, that micro-Islam is not the problem. My primary care doctor is a Muslim. We're going to have him on the show. I keep asking to bring him on, Zudi Jasser. He's amazing. He's devout. He's a serious person. He loves the country. He served the country. Nobody debates that there are individually great Muslims. Of course there are. Obviously. The debate is about macro-Islam. And to be honest, I've not heard anybody in the public discourse make that distinction between micro and macro. Because in macro Islam, you do see problems where they do not believe in separation of mosque and state. They do not believe in freedom of speech. They do not believe in freedom of religion. They don't believe in dissent. In a lot of Muslim-majority countries, they don't believe in private property. They don't believe in the same type of due process. They don't believe in the state types of the rule of law. They are Shia supremacists. And it's not just like, and this is what drives me nuts, is people say, well, in these Muslim countries, they repress women. Of course, that is true in Afghanistan. That's a sloppy surface level argument. That's fourth grade stuff. We got to go deeper. Everyone knows that, okay? The issue is how that fundamentally is at odds with the fiber and the DNA of our existence, of our birthright. You have to ask the question, why? Why invite these people in? Well, in Britain, it's either they want to replace the native population like our American leaders did, or they wanted to try to have GDP growth, some sort of white guilt. And again, they're a hyper-secular country, so they don't know how to deal with their guilt, so they don't go to church. So the way they deal with guilt is bringing a bunch of Mohammedans. The other issue is once you invite one in, you can't guarantee you're also not inviting a radical. But I think that's also a distraction. I think it's a little bit of a distraction to talk about the terrorist attack. Not that, of course, we're going to talk about what just happened in D.C. The distraction, though, is because they'll be like, well, look at all these other peaceful Muslims. And they are correct in that. No. We're talking about the ideology. Once they represent a plurality and then a majority, will not ever swim in the same waters as this. People use the micro as an excuse. Because this U.S. Constitution that I'm holding in my hands is incongruent at charter with Islam. It cannot coexist with Islam. And I could go piece by piece. Here it says you have freedom to say whatever you want. In a Muslim-majority country, can I criticize the Prophet Muhammad? Oh, I can't? Inconsistent. Here it says that we're going to do our best to try to have religious institutions separate from government. In a Muslim-majority country, is the mosque separate from the state? In this document, it says that you should have freedom of expression religiously. In this document, it says you get due process. In this document, it says that you get a court of law of your peers. We have Muslims bragging about using our old laws against us. Playcut 361 went totally viral in the UK.
The question is macro Islam compatible with Western values? Macro. Of course it's not. There are three major reasons why. Islam does not believe in freedom of speech. Islam does not believe in freedom of religion. And Islam does not believe in separation of mosque and state. Those three things are antithetical to the West. In a Muslim-majority country, you are not, most Muslim-majority countries, you cannot criticize the Prophet Muhammad. Mm. In most Muslim-majority countries, you do not have the same robust freedom of religion protections. And finally, whereas we in the West are very careful to try to intermix religion and state, they are commanded to actually go into the state and try to change the state to be more Islamic around the core pillars of Islam. And the last thing I'll finally say is, I cannot see a single Western country that has become more Islamic and has become a better place to live that is happier or freer.
Prove me wrong. And it's not against the micro-Muslim neighbor who is pleasant and devout. We've all experienced that. It is about the ideology, macro. When they don't assimilate, they repopulate, they take over institutions. You get this epic city in Plano, Texas. If you want to love America, renew your love for America, go to Britain for 3 days. You will love this country more than ever before. Be right back. Private student loan debt. So many Americans feel stuck and helpless. They are the sponsor of our campus tour. They are great people. You can finally take control of your student loan situation at yrefi.com. That is yrefi.com. They provide you with a custom loan payment based on your ability to pay. YRefi is not a debt settlement company, and they work with each borrower individually, tailoring each loan to each borrower's specific situation. You'll not be calling a faceless call center. YRefi can reduce your monthly payment and guarantees interest rates under 6%. YRefi does not care what your credit score is. Go to yrefi.com. That is yrefi.com. So take a look at it right now at yrefi.com. YRefi refinances distressed and defaulted private student loans, which are different from federal loans. They offer a 3-minute rate check. So I want you to think right now, maybe you have private student loan debt. Maybe your friend does. Maybe your neighbor. Got to check it out. Yrefi.com. Yrefi.com. Can you imagine being debt-free and not burdened anymore? Go to yrefi.com. May not be available in all 50 states. Yrefi.com. Yesterday, President Donald Trump went there. He did it. This is why we love him. You see, the South African president came and did a visit to the Oval Office. And instead of kind of going back and forth of, oh, here's what's happening in your country or not, President Donald Trump decided to bring the goods. President Donald Trump decided to show the world and show the receipts to this anti-white government in South Africa about how there is a mantra of killing the Boers. Here is President Donald Trump. He pulls out the receipts for South African president, dims the lights, and makes everyone watch a video of the South African political leader saying, kill the Boers. Play cut 325.
Turn the lights down. Turn the lights down. And just put this on. It's right behind you. Johan.
There's nothing this parliament can do. With or without you, people are going to occupy land. We require no permission from you, from the president, from no one.
Now, this is very bad. These are burial sites right here. Burial sites. Over 1,000 of white farmers. And those cars are lined up to pay love on a Sunday morning. Each one of those white things you see is a cross. And there's approximately 1,000 of them. They're all white farmers.
Honestly, God bless President Trump for your moral courage and clarity. And then CNN comes out and says Donald Trump makes up this idea that there's an attack or a potential genocide happening in South Africa. When I was debating at Oxford, I debated a professor at Oxford. She says, And Charlie Kirk and his crew are saying that there's something in South Africa that none of us have even heard of. Trying to be like really glib and mock us. Oh, really? You never even heard of it? Let's make sure that we replay the clip for you. Kill the Boer is the clip of the leader of a major political party in South Africa saying that we have to go and kill the white owner. Let's use that. Let's go here. Play cut 337.
We have hundreds of people, thousands of people trying to come into our country because they feel they're going to be killed and their land is going to be confiscated. And you do have laws that were passed that gives you the right to confiscate land for no payment.
And here's the media. CNN says, well, you need more context. You see, when you say kill the Boer, it's not really kill the Boer. It's you needed more historical context. 326.
Larry, has been debate over that song, that anti-apartheid chant, right? And for people who don't have a historical context, it does potentially appear more literal.
There are many who grew up under those years of white minority rule who understand the historical context of this song, Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer, that Julius Malema has made popular again. It sort of fell into disuse. It's not been that commonly sung after the end of apartheid in 1994. But it's brought it back again to reanimate the issue of the majority of land in South Africa still being owned by white farmers.
So let's play cut 374. Here is the actual clip of Kill the Boer. You be the judge. Play cut 374. Over 100,000 people screaming, kill the Boer. And President Donald Trump is unafraid to bring that to the world stage. This is how the leader of the free world should act. 336, President Trump hands the South African president a large file of full of white farmers who have been murdered recently. Play cut 336.
So the issues that concern you as the United States.
Those are all recent. And those are all deaths.
Yeah, in many ways, I mean, one should say you are a partner of South Africa.
Yeah, partner of South Africa. This guy just wants a trade deal to try to continue to enrich his Marxist buddies in the failed race-obsessed state of South Africa. He even got the president of South Africa to say, well, okay, this is kind of a bit, you know, we don't like that kind of language. Oh, really? The CNN panelists tried to dismiss the concerns that white South Africans are being targeted and murdered in their homes. Play cut 344.
So you have these two issues, these two false claims, and this meeting, in a way, was the culmination of, for years now, these lobbyists of these Afrikaner groups have been traveling to Washington, talking to Republicans, also talking to this White House, and you're seeing the culmination of that lobbying campaign and the amplifying of these false descriptions of the reality on the ground in this country.
Well, look, whether you call it a genocide or not, the facts are white farmers in South Africa have been murdered. A lot of people have tried to cover this up. So my question is, if it's not a genocide today, how many do we want to let get murdered so that people around here can be satisfied? Okay, now it's a genocide. Let's let a few more. I don't understand.
That's their playbook. Oh, it's not organic. They have a bunch of lobbyists. They say the same thing about Israel at times. I don't know. It's just because they have a bunch of lobbyists. Here is Michael Orr on TV. Play cut 375.
So do you think President Ramaphosa was prepared for President Trump to press him on this?
I have interesting views about whether I felt that South Africa's delegation was prepared or at least prepared enough. I do think that they knew that they were walking into a trap.
They did, yeah, okay.
I don't think that they were clueless. They were confident. At times, I'd even say to them, it sometimes feels like a little bit too confident. We've seen what Donald Trump does. The one thing that's a marker of the U.S. president right now is uncertain, unpredictable, and we tend to know that he relies on tricks to prove a point. And so I do think that they did understand.
So do you think President Ramaphosa was...
Okay. First of all, I never want to hear that there is starvation happening in South Africa ever again. That whole talking point is done. I never want to hear that. Number two, aren't they literally eating South African farmers. They're literally eating them. It's a joke. This white farmers are apparently very productive, very good at what they do. This is race-based, envy-driven political reconfiscation. I had a 25-minute debate on South Africa in Oxford. I can't wait for that footage to come up. We're going to post it immediately. And essentially, I had the guy tongue-tied. I said, why should you punish a grandchild for what the grandfather did? And there is no argument for that. And not just punish, they want to take the land and they're murdering the family. And they're trying to make every possible excuse for it. Is this how an ally of the United States should work? No. But it's funny how the media will go above and beyond saying that there's a genocide in Gaza because there's an active war zone. But as soon as it involves white people, it's just fine. It's a conspiracy theory. Maybe it's because the white people aren't well liked by the media. There's been national focus on eating only the healthiest of foods, and that's great news for Balance of Nature. Their method of producing a vibrant nutritional supplement is second to none. While so many others use chemicals and additives, Balance of Nature is made solely from whole food ingredients. While other methods sacrifice nutritional quality for the sake of profits and volume, Balance of Nature's advanced vacuum cold process involves freeze-drying the fruits and veggies into a fine powder, helping to retain as much nutritional value as possible. Compared to the other inferior methods, which cut corners at your expense, Balance of Nature packs a nutritional punch, and that's the whole reason for taking Balance of Nature, getting the most nutrition for the sake of your health. Use my discount code CHARLIE to get 35% off plus free shipping and their money-back guarantee. You must use my discount code CHARLIE. Call them at 800-246-8751 and use discount code CHARLIE or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code CHARLIE to get 35% off plus free shipping. Cambridge is allegedly one of the world's greatest schools. And yet, what was remarkable is that there is certainly a higher IQ. They are more clever than some American students, but they are not wiser. And wisdom is the knowledge of things that never change. And some of the back and forth I had with some of the students was so beneath what you would expect out of a sophisticated education system like Cambridge. But it goes to show the moral and intellectual rot that these universities have become. Let's play this piece of tape here. Of all the things that I get questioned about, of all the different things that you could potentially bring up, of all the different stuff that you could ask, one of the questions at Cambridge, this was the first question, they were asking whether or not I would debate some YouTuber, which, by the way, we're planning to have him on the show later this summer. This is the sophistication of Cambridge University. Play cut 310.
Now, I know you've debated Dean Withers on Jubilee before. I was wondering why you now refuse to engage with further debate with him.
I flew 5,000 miles across the world to have you ask why I'm not going to debate a left-wing YouTuber.
Well, I mean, he continuously tries to get your attention at your campus.
Yeah, right. Yeah, again,
and
he's,
you just ignore him.
I've debated him twice in the last calendar year. He's coming on my show this summer. Let me be clear. I came to Cambridge to have you ask me that.
Yeah, he's making videos about you avoiding him on your campus debates.
Right. So let me tell you how this works. I do a campus event like a Texas A&M University. I rent it out. I'm there for 3 hours. He shows up demanding to come up to the mic immediately, cutting in line of other students. It's not Joe Biden's America anymore. We can just cut in line and get whatever you want. So therefore, I say, excuse me, Dean, we'll talk at another time. He makes this YouTube video as if I'm scared to debate him, even though I debated him twice in the last year.
That's the sophistication. And for those of you on radio podcasting, she was wearing a hijab. So of all the things to ask me, why won't you debate this person? Okay, I guess. Like, that's really how deep we're going to go? Here's a longer piece of tape, but it's worth it. Let's go to cut 311.
For the three conservatives that are here tonight, I hope you guys get your mojo back. This was once a great country. I want to see it great again. You guys are a husk of your former self. You guys, you can laugh and sneer all you want, but the country that split the atom and invented the steam engine and eradicated slavery and brought common law to the world can do a lot better than this. And you are, your existence led to our existence. And for whatever I can do, I hope that this country finds a leader or a group of leaders. I'm not here to give you political advice. I hate when foreigners do that to Americans. You guys can do whatever you want. But I do have a wish that the world feels like it's missing something. It feels like it's missing something when Great Britain or England or whatever politically correct thing I have to say, because I guess England, I can't fly an English flag now or whatever nonsense that is. Like, be proud of your heritage. You've done good for the world. Stop apologizing. Get your energy, get your vitality, get what made England and made Great Britain such a phenomenal place. I hope you get that back. And I hope that you reject the swan song of multiculturalism and get back to the fundamental truism that a strong Britain means a strong world and therefore a strong West. And we can stand up for what is good, true, and beautiful.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.